Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. This is Kimberly. This is Jaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. One moment, please. I'm going to put our music on. Here we go. It looks like we got a lot of people on the line already. I'm going to get my co-host on the line, and we're going to get this ball rolling. Shalom, shalom, Brother Donia. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Just waiting on a few people, more people to call in. How was your week?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed every minute of every day above ground. I'm enjoying.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's correct.
Anything special going on this week we need to know about?
Not really. Everything is just about the same, you know, day to day, hustle and bustle. No, nothing new has changed. That's about it. You know, I know that the Almighty is great and he will reveal everything that we need to know. So
yes,
I just wait
hallelujah.
On him.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I hadn't heard anything on your end that I need to know about?
Oh, no, just happy to be in the land of the living, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, but other than that, we all good.
Yeah, well... You know, the Almighty give you what you need, you understand, to survive, you understand, you got to struggle for the rest.
Do you think the struggling will ever stop?
Say that again?
I said, do you think the struggling will ever stop?
Yeah, I believe that it will, but I don't think that it will be in our day and time. I think it's going to go into the next generation. Maybe our grandchildren will see some smaller semblance of some light. But as far as, because it's going to be a struggle right on for a long time now. We haven't really, really seen no struggle.
Oh my goodness.
Just want to, if you could ever imagine yourself. I seen a trailer of that movie, 12 Years of Slavery.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that?
I have not seen that, no.
Oh, that's about this brother who was a freed person. This was 1847, I think, or something like that. And he was a freed person, but they grabbed him up and put him back in slavery, and he was enslaved for 12 years. That was a horrible scene. You understand? I mean, and that was just, that brought me in mind to when they first put us in slavery. We was in Africa, man. You woke up they woke you up in the middle of the night, and you never seen your homeland again. And he was, and that's the same thing happened to him, man. They some Caucasians. They invited him to, he was a musician, and they invited him to play play for them in a couple of areas, and they was going to pay him. So he went along with them, you understand, and he had drank something, and the next thing he woke up, he was in chains, you understand, and back, and they had him in jail. And so from that particular point on, for 12 years, he was enslaved. Boy, ooh, it was a horrible situation.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that puts me in mind of those times when we first came into slavery, you understand? We never seen our homeland again. All we seen was chains, whips, beatings, maimed, murder. That was horrible. And I know that, you know, and us being spiritual people, we was calling on the Almighty, and he didn't even answer us at that particular time. But, you know, he didn't allow us to understand that that was part of the curse that the Almighty had put on us. You know, and we just went through some stuff, man, you know, and I know they thought that the Almighty had abandoned them. You understand? Mm-hmm. Ooh, it was just a horrible thing. Just imagine that.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. I mean, that's what, you know, my grandfather, one day my grandmother and my grandfather was talking, and my grandmother was talking about how she didn't have to go out into the field. And I was sitting at the table with him and her, and he was like, "You always trying to act like you uppity. You was out in the field with the rest of us picking cotton." And, you know, as you get older, and you think about it, that wasn't that many generations away. You know what I'm saying? And to understand that cotton was a viable resource that our country used and that our people died out in that field. I mean, you know, those are the things. And you know, when you really think about what we had to experience as a nation and the horror that we had to experience, I mean, there's some stories to be told that would literally bring grown men to tears. The brutality that our people had to suffer and endure as a result of our own disobedience. I mean, you know, when you really can really bring it home and you realize that this happened because of our own disobedience.
That is correct.
And, you know, suffered through many, many phone calls, and we suffered through many conference calls, and we listened in on different conference calls, and you know yourself, you and I have been on several where, you know, they talk about economic empowerment and our people need to start making economic moves for themselves. But I don't think they really understand the problem is we are still under a curse.
That is correct.
Curse. I mean, and until and according to that curse, according to Deuteronomy 28, we would build fields that we would not own. We would build houses that would not be ours. We would work the land, and the land would yield to somebody else. I mean, all of these things have been given to us, and even though he's relaxed the brutality and it's become more psychological than it is physical, it's still physical because they're still killing us, but it's become more psychological than anything. You know, people seem to forget that we're still under it, and until he lifts it, it's not going to change.
Well, in Zephaniah, the Almighty spoke through Zephaniah, and he says he's hastening the wrath that he's going to put on the nations that kept us captive. You understand? So there is a method that we have to look into, you understand, of how we can feel. Well, we can feel a little hope, knowing that the Almighty, you understand, is orchestrating this. If we can understand that, we can feel a little hope. Now, even though we're not being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered, we have contributing to our own demise by our children is killing one another. We're falling prey to marrying into these other nations. You understand? We also turning out. It's been our brothers and sisters are getting into the homosexual and gay lifestyle. You understand? And still we're being murdered, but not as we're being murdered off by the peoples that hold us captive. You understand? So if we can overcome some of these obstacles, you understand? And I think that if knowing yourself as being a Hebrew Israelite, these are we have to come up with a way so that we can try to save a number of our peoples, you understand, and bring them back, bring them into the understanding, you understand, of righteousness and justice, you understand. But as long as we sit on the fence with everything, you know, and we are slow, and we, you know, we're so slow in moving on anything, you understand, especially anything that's going to work, that we can think of that's going to work together with one another. You understand? We very, very slow. We'll work with anybody other nation, but we won't work with one another for nothing under the sun. And that's one of the things that's holding us back. And but we are contributing to our own demise.
And we're still waiting on the brother from Atlanta to call us in, to call in today, because we still want to stay on topic. And I'm going to say something, and I agree with you 100% about everything you said. And we're going to do a show about that, because we need to do a show. We need to do a show for the sisters, because when I was out yesterday, I saw so many of our black men with white women. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. What is going on to the point where our black women are being treated like that? And sisters, I'm going to tell you, if you're listening, it's not going to be today, because I don't want to change topic. I want to stay on course. But we are going to put something together where we can address this issue, because, you know, one of the curses, one of the issues with us when it comes to the curse is in Deuteronomy, it says that we would have hatred for our husband and our children. Basically, black women would have an attitude. And the softness that we used to have, to the point where we would be afraid for our feet to touch the ground, because we were so dainty that we didn't want to get dirty, we lost that. That's one of the things that we lost in this captivity with this curse. And that is the very thing that is drawing them to the white women, is the thing that we have lost. And they have got to understand that no matter what they do, it will eventually turn, because that is not how the Most High is going to do it. He is not going to get rid of the daughters of Zion. We are not going anywhere. There is nothing that's going to happen to us. So we have to understand that. And that's in a whole nother one, not today, because we're going to stay on course. And the reason why I want to stay on course about the supernaturalness of Yah and the things that we're doing in this Old Testament is because I really believe that these are the things right now that the Most High has us on. So we have topics that we can talk about from here to eons on out. We'll never run out of topics, and we're waiting on the brother to call in from Atlanta. When you call in, please push 1. But we got to get this thing on wraps. We got to put the black woman back up in the positive light, because if you watch television, I have not seen one black woman on television in a positive manner. Not one. Either she is acting ignorant, or they have betrayed her as a whore, or we got to do something to bring that black woman back out in the front. We're not going to hide. And if you notice, Brother Donia, they have the black men sucking on the white women. They got the white women sucking on the black men. They are literally and psychologically trying to mix up our race so that there is no Hebrew Israelite black women, black men. They're trying to create their own, and we're not going to let that happen. We're just not going to let that happen.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, it depends on the willing heart, especially, I mean, the ones that are looking at this saying to themselves that, like you said, we're not going to let this happen. We're going to do something. We're going to make some kind of moves. Now, that might be absolutely right, that we may need to set up some kind of forum, you understand, where we can bring these things to the table. But see, I don't like forums if we ain't going to do nothing. If we just going to talk,
no,
man, we
I don't
can...
want to do no forum. We didn't do forums. We didn't do all that stuff.
I'm talking about even just if we not going to do nothing, we just doing rhetoric. We doing what the Almighty said. You bring him lip service. If we going to have something, we going to sit down and we going to find out what we going to do to fix this problem. You understand? Instead of just running our mouth, we all know the problem. We all know what's going on. What are we going to do to fix it? You understand? That's my major concern here. You understand? Here, you know, a lot of things that had went on in the past, you understand? We seen it. People tried to come up, you know, Al Sharpton, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, and a host of other folks have stood up, you understand, to try to fix some stuff that's going on here today. You understand? Now we don't have none of those martyrs. So that makes me think that it's not about the leaders, it's about the common person standing up. You understand? The ones that think that they ain't got no voice. We need to be able to be the ones that say, well, what the hell with this? I'm going to do something. You understand? That's what need to be done. Now, and see, whether we are Messianic, Hebrew, Jew, Hebrew or anything, if we black folks, man, we need to do some standing up here. You understand? It don't make no difference who it is, what the denomination that you proclaim. You understand? It's happening to all of us. It ain't happening to just one denomination of folk. You understand? This happens to all black people that set their feet on this continent, you understand, back there 400 years ago. You understand? So we got to stand up, man. We can't wait for nobody else to do it. You understand? That is our problem. Hallelujah.
But you know what it is? And this is it. What is his name? Oh, my goodness. Jeremy Yahoo, if you're on the line, please push 1. We've been waiting on you to call in from Atlanta. We still want to get on the thing about the supernaturalness of the word. There's some things I want to share with you guys today that is off the chain. And we're waiting for somebody to get on the line, for him to push 1. But you're absolutely right. I'm at an end with all that. I don't want to say I'm done, but you know, when the Most High gives you something to do and you complete it, then you completed it. Washington D.C. was the completion of that. There's going to be some things that are going to be done from the women's standpoint where we're going to counteract all of that stuff, but you got to understand what's being done to us psychologically. Psychologically, we have been dumbed down so to the point where, I mean, Ezekiel 37 said it. When the bones finally woke up, what did they say? We are sorely dry and our hope is gone, to the point where the life was sucked out of them, even though the life was blown into them. When they finally didn't realize who they were, they were so beat down. It was like, man, look, we need some life. But the manipulation that we are suffering as a people is just unbelievable. I mean, it's to the point where television manipulates everything we do. I mean, everything we do. If you watch it long enough, that they are sending subliminal messages to tear down the union between the black man and the black woman. And you know what's sad? I'm going to tell you what's really sad. I saw one of the Hebrew brothers, and I ain't going to call his name, but I really want to. But I ain't going to call his name, but I really, really want to call his name. He's out on the street corner bashing the black woman, and it's like, you know what? You guys going to have to stop, because in a minute, we're going to label you as the enemy, because we've been through enough. If we don't stick together, then there's no need in us coming together. You're not helping the situation none by promoting what they're trying to promote. Every time we come up against each other, whether the black women talk about the men or the men talk about the women, you're promoting what the fake Jew wants you to promote. They're trying to drive a wedge between us. And we're all, like you said, we are all under the same curse, and we have all gone through the same thing. So we've got to stop doing that to each other, because I was so angry when I saw this brother come out like he did, and he's a well-known leader. And I was so pissed. I was like, you know what? This is not going to work. This is just not going to work. We're not going to sit by and allow you to bash us and beat us down like you just don't count, because we're all under the same curse. And that sister that's walking around with her that skirt up her butt and her breast hanging out, she needs some love and somebody to come up to her and tell her, look, this is not the way. She needs to be taught about who she is. But all that in the street, black women ain't this. Y'all going to be by yourself. Y'all keep it up. You ain't going to have no man. I rebuke that. I rebuke that, because that is not what y'all said in this word, and it will not be what will happen. And you know what really makes me mad? Is I look at the face of the Hebrew Israelite community and coming out of an environment, a professional environment. Now, I'm not even talking about the church. Out of a professional environment to the point where people conduct themselves a certain way. And I see all of these men out there with all this rah-rah, and we ain't no nonsense, and you need a man, and you got to be subject to your husband, and you ain't supposed to speak, and all that crazy stuff, to the point where now I understand why it's not working. Because by the time you get through the costume, and by the time you get through all the yelling, and by the time you get through the ones that smoking weed and reading the word, and by the time you get through all of the ones with the craziness that's coming out of their mouth, and then by the time you get through the ones that got multiple husbands and wives, it looks like a cult. It looks like a cult. And I can promise you, Israel, that is not going to be the faith that Yahweh is going to have for his nation. I promise you that. That's not going to work. The average person coming out and looking at us will say, I'm cool. I don't even want to be bothered with that. I'm cool. Because there's too much mess involved in it. And I don't know why we're going here today, and maybe this is the way we're supposed to go today, but it's way too much mess in it, because nobody's going to subscribe to that type of an environment.
Well, the way I see it,
I didn't know what to do. I was like, really? I mean, come on now.
Well,
here we trying to build it up, and you damn.
It's not going to be. Right now, you understand, people are comfortable in their own skin. And it's only going to be the ones that have the willingness to stand up for the Almighty and are willing to see, to want to make a difference. You understand? And that, you know, and it's not going to be, it's not an overnight project. It's not a poof and it's going to happen. You understand? It's going to take efforts, and the efforts that I see is going to have to be from the common person, not the ones that we choose to be our leaders. You understand? I think that maybe they will latch on later on, but at this particular point, we got to stand up and say, "Well, listen, we're not going to take this here no more. Here's what we got on the fire, on the burner. This is what we want to do here." You understand? Now, we got children that's coming up in the society here. You understand? We got to make some kind of difference for them children to see a difference, man. You know, just because we say things out of our mouth, if we can't show them no difference, they're not gonna make any move towards. The only way that they're gonna make a move is that because of it hurt them. It hurt that particular person. You understand? Then they're going to want to make a move. But we're supposed to be able to do something, you understand, to spark this movement, you understand, to make the movement, you understand, a success is because we did something. We put forth some efforts. We put things in place. Now, if we're not willing to do that, man, we just beating our gums. You understand? That's all we do. But, you know, so the Almighty is got to be in the matter. We got to put him first. And like I said, you understand, earlier, that we got to bring all of these things to the Creator, you understand, and ask him what he want us to do in this particular day and time. You understand what I'm saying? It's, you know, since we all scattered all over the place and don't know what, you know, each one of us got something that we think is right, you understand, we need to bring that to the Creator. If we don't bring it to the Creator, we never going to solve none of these problems, because he's the only one that's going to solve. He is our salvation. And that's all I could say on that matter. You know, we got to make the difference. We want to change, then we got to be the change. Hallelujah.
Like I said, you know, and I stand by it 100%. I promise you that will not be the face of the Hebrew Israelite community. That won't be it. And the one thing that I've learned and through it all from seeing what I've seen, and it didn't take me long to get to this point, is that we lack one common thing, and that's love. And until we understand that it's love that's going to draw people, and it's love that's going to keep people, and it's love that makes people want to change, we're not going to get it. You're not going to get it browbeating nobody. You're not going to get it by beating nobody over the head. You're not going to get it by that. We didn't get it like that. We got it because he woke us up one day. He loved us enough to show us what was really going on, and he woke us up one day. And now that we have this knowledge, now we feel like everybody else got to wake up because we want them to wake up. They don't understand. The Most High has a timing for everything. That's why we were doing this show about the supernaturalness of who he is, because he times everything. Everything is perfectly timed, and everything is totally perfection with him. And he does it according to his will and not ours. So he has awoken us as a people to get us prepared to be able to accept the masses that are coming in. But some people wake up out of a coma fighting, and they remain fighting all the way through their whole lifetime. And it's like, you know, and you know what, I'm going to tell you something. I'm proud to be able to say this today, because when I was in Christianity, I was like that. I was no nonsense. You better be right. You better do it right, or else he's going to get you. And that's what the words say, and that's that. And you know what? You know how I learned that lesson? He broke me to the point where he broke me down enough to realize that it's love that I use when I draw. He said, even though I have them in the situation of captivity, even though we've been in this captivity, he still showed love, because we didn't see a total end of ourselves. We're talking today on this radio show, and our ancestors, through, in spite of all the things that they went through, coming across that Atlantic Ocean and making it through the shipping experience, and then making it through the brutality, and making it through the houses and stuff, and all of the slave camps they was on, and the things that they went through. They were some tough folks to be able to make it through that. But the Most High had to show them some mercy and some grace to even be able to do that, that you and I may be on this radio show today, and that the people that's listening to this show is on there today. So the same love that he extended to us, we've got to learn how to extend to the masses. Even the white folks, you got to still love them, because guess what? It's not going to stop the fact that they're going to get done, because the word is going to come to pass irregardless to the fact of what they do. The punishment is still the same. And the same way they smile in our face and say, hello, yes, thank you, absolutely, and hate us behind their back, guess what? The same thing can really happen to them. But it don't take away from our character, because we don't have to act like they acted.
That's correct. See, one thing that I'm also seeing is that the Almighty chooses people. He puts people in position. You understand? He put all of those spiritual, all those leaders that stood in the way, so that we would not totally be annihilated. The Almighty put those folks there. We might not agree with everything that they said or did. You understand? But the Almighty had them sustain our living up until this day and time now. Now he has chosen some other folks to carry the ball a little further. You understand? It's not going. The Almighty don't choose everybody. We have to have some leaders, and we have to have some chiefs, and we got to have some Indians. You understand? The chiefs are supposed to put stuff into place. You understand? Just like right now. You understand? I got this little project. You understand? That could help at least 85% of the people that are incarcerated today. We can give them a new lease on life. You understand what I'm saying? Now this can happen. We need to do something about this now, while we have the opportunity. The opportunity is right here for us to do it. Now, some people say, oh, well, we don't want to go to the man to get no money, to this and that and the other, because they got restrictions and this and that and the other. Listen, we always had restrictions. We got to look at where we at. We in captivity. So we have to use these facilities just like food stamps and Social Security and all of those things have to be used, you understand, until we can put our own stuff in position. So I don't have no problem about using no money. You understand? I mean, I would try to get that money. Matter of fact, if we're not going to do nothing about my little project, guess where I'm going? Right to them government people, man, and see if I can get it done by them. You understand? And I will use that money to set up everything. But I'm just saying here that the Almighty puts people in place. It don't necessarily have to be coming from the heads of any particular group. You understand? You know, let me tell you this here, and I'm going to shut up. The Christians, they had some good ideas, but it was not going to work because it was not done in the name of the Almighty. Now, some of those things made the program last a little longer because it was a good idea, but it was not going to last because it was not done in the name of the Almighty, not the name of the Christian deity or anything like that. Those things are not going to work. You understand? We need to take some pieces out of their program and put it in our little thing and make it work. You understand? So I'm just saying the Almighty will put people in place. You understand? We haven't got no serious motto. You understand? If you ever listen to Dr. Umar Johnson, he said that, you know, he said that that our so-called civil rights leader and political people that we have put in place, they have failed us. You understand? They talking about joining on to the society instead of working in conjunction with the society. You understand what I'm saying? Put stuff in place for us. You understand? And but not necessarily joining into what they want us to do. You understand? So, you know, it's a lot of things that we possibly could do, but we need to do it in the name of Yah, and that's the only way it's going to work. Hallelujah. I guess I talk too much.
Oh, you fine. I just wanted to say to everybody, we're going to have this. This is definitely going to be something that we need to talk about, and we're going to have this at a later date. You know, and I'm not against the soldiers because the soldiers are the soldiers, and they're supposed to be soldiers. But like I said, the soldier has its place. For it to be a nation, there has to be polish, and that's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. The polish is coming to the point where, because the Most High is polished. When I tell you he polished, he is a man of integrity. And he is a man of credentials. He is a man of honor. He keeps his word. He says what he does, and he does what he says, and he put his word above his name and all of that. And he makes sure that things are, he's a man of protocol. He is protocol. He wrote it. So the rah-rah stuff and all the, well, we're going to get him. Yeah, we're going to get him. All that has its place, but you will not be the face that will be out in front of you. You will not represent the Most High the way you think you will, and it all has its place. And I say that prophetically. For those who don't believe in it, I say that prophetically, and we'll go there. We're going to leave that going on. But anyway, back to the topic of the hand. I pulled up some information about old Zachariah Sitchin. And the reason why we have these type of shows is because we realize that a lot of people really don't know the Most High. And in getting to know his supernaturalness lets you know that he is no nonsense when it comes to certain things. He does not fool with certain things. It's something that we've brought him down on a human level to the point where we think that he is our best bud and that we call his name like he lived next door, and that's just not the case. He is the King of Kings. So I did a little research on Zachariah Sitchin and the Anunnakis and all that stuff. And, you know, I found out that the gods of Anunnaki, there's supposed to be seven of them, and these same gods were the gods of the Sumerian culture in Babylonian culture. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, let me give you a little history about this thing right here. The seven brothers of the Anunnaki royalty, the main leaders of that was Enki and Enlil. And these were the gods that were worshipped in Babylon when Nimrod was in place. And these were the gods that were worshipped in Babylon when Abraham's father, Terah, was on the scene. And you have to understand the history of who we're dealing with when we're dealing with Abraham, because a whole lot of people, and this is why we teach this kind of stuff, because Christianity has spun this story. And Christianity spun this story up to the point where when the truth really comes, you'll be like, this don't even make sense no more. Because you remember, when I was in Christianity and we heard the story of Abraham, it was like one day Abraham just decided to serve God and he counted it for righteousness. And then one day God said, and this is what Christianity says, God said one day, Abram. And he just called his name, and Abram didn't know who he was, and he said, go. And this is the story that they have been preaching for years since I've been on the scene. But when you really do your research, and I'm telling everybody, do your research. Because if you go to Joshua, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, the book of Joshua talks about the book of Jasher. And not only the book of Joshua, 2 Samuel, the first chapter, the 18th verse, talks about the book of Jasher. And it's spelled J-A-S-H-E-R. J-A-S-H-E-R. You have to get the book of Jasher to understand what's going on. Now, why do I say that? I say that because when you read the book of Jasher, it fills in the blanks of the missing story. So now we understand, and I'm going to fill it in a little bit before we get started, but we got to understand what was going on. Let's deal with Abraham. We got to deal with Abraham first. Abraham was born in the land of Ur. Everybody know that? We know Abraham was born in the land of Ur. Christianity taught us that Abraham was rich. Well, he was, but guess why he was rich? Because his father, Terah, was a prince among the royal house of Nimrod. That's why Abraham was rich. His father was a prince among the house of Nimrod. Not only was he a prince, but he was a sorcerer and a priest. Abram's father was a sorcerer among the house of Nimrod in the land of Ur. Terah had Abraham when he was 70 years of age. 70. I'm going to give y'all some history now. Get the book of Jasher. If you don't have it, get the book of Jasher so you can fill in the blanks. Once Terah had Abraham, they said there was an omen in the sky. An omen appeared in the sky. And Nimrod thought that the baby was going to replace him as being the leader. So he put a decree out to kill Abram. And Terah, guess where Terah took his baby? Terah took his baby and gave him to Noah. And Noah raised Abram until Abram was 37 years old. And guess what, while he was there? Shem taught Abram about Yah.
Okay.
So Yah was not just some strange God that appeared to Abram and said, Abram, go. That's not what happened. Shem taught him the ways of the Most High. Abram knew about the Most High growing up from a baby. These are the things that are not taught in Christianity, and Christianity teaches a story like, Abram just met God one day, and he said, Abram, and Abram turned around and said, yes, Lord. You know how they do it in church. They spinning this story and telling these lies, And it's time for people to stop listening and start studying.
That is correct.
He knew the Most High. Shem taught him about his ways. He taught him who he was and what it was all about and what he was supposed to be doing. Arthur knew about sorcery. His father was a sorcerer. He made idols, idols that spoke, idols that did these things. And the idols that he made was the god of Enki and Enlil from the Anunnaki family.
Mm-hmm.
These are the men that look, they have the bodies of men, and they have the faces of snakes.
Hey.
And they started a long time ago supplanting themselves in the earth to get people to believe that they were the Most High and that they came to make us. They have not made us. They were not a part of making us, and they had nothing to do with making us.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I might interrupt, you know, in Egypt, they used to worship snakes, and they used to have those things they used to do. They put it all on the walls of Egypt, and you can go in Egypt right now, and you'll see certain men with snake-like heads, but human bodies. You understand? So I can almost agree verbatim with what you're saying. You understand? Regarding, because during that particular time, the Anakim were in the earth. You understand? And a lot of stuff they talk about is that they came looking for gold. You understand? And they made it with the children of men, and they to use those children of men for laborers, so that they wouldn't have to do all that work. It's a big story, man. There's a lot of information out there on that.
And it's a lot we have to learn. We have to understand. Let me say something to you all. There are a lot of books in the Bible that are missing. There are a lot of books not included. I mean, if you really want me to run down to you, you can get a pen and a paper, I'll run them down to you. There's a book called The Book of Wars of Yah.
Okay.
That's mentioned in Numbers 21:14. Of course, we already talked about the Book of Jasher in Joshua, the 10th chapter, and the 13th
Enoch.
Verse. First Samuel. Enoch is gone, but we're talking about, they got the annals of Jehu. That in the Book of Kings of Israel, that's mentioned in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, the 34th verse.
Okay.
They got the,
yes.
The Book of the Kings.
You know, remember now, the Tanakh itself has been translated more than 5 or 6 times. And each time that it's been translated, it loses in its translation because they never could put words in that would give you the understanding of what really, really went down. You understand? Because their words had different meanings. Like the English language, man, the English language itself could not explain what happened in the ancient times. Now, if we read in what's his name? Zephaniah, my favorite prophet. The Almighty said that he was going to return to us a pure language. Why is he saying that? Because all the other languages that we've been involved with was tampered with. They left out a whole lot of stuff. You understand? They only wanted to give us a small understand. See, this we was made with the discernment. We were supposed to be able to discern between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and not truth. You understand? So we have so all the books that we read today, most of them, you understand, is not going to really give us any kind of real understanding on who we are and what we are about. You understand? They made up a whole lot of stories. You understand? That we just latched on to. You understand? Because we're spiritual folk. You understand? For the most part.
Exactly. So, again, as I was saying, We got to get to the point where we understand what is going on. And that's why Abram left Ur. Because when Nimrod found out that Abram was still alive, he set out a decree to have them killed. And he set out the decree to kill Terah, Abram, and Haram, Abram's brother. And he threw Abram and Haram in the fire, and he threw them in the fire, and Haram was killed, and Abram was alive. And this is what set everything going. So when you start talking about the different books, you got to understand that there is a lot of things going on that we don't research, we do not read. You've got to be able to understand there is many books that have been spoken of that are not, that we don't have access to. They've taken them, they've hid them, they have them in the Vatican, they have them in the catacombs. Because why? Because it tells more of the stories. They have a book called The Acts of Solomon. And it's mentioned in 1 Kings 11:41.
All right.
They do. They have a book, Acts of Solomon. And we're here, Brother Adonai. Which is mentioned in 2 Chronicles 9:29. It's a lot of things that we don't have access to that we have to understand. When we've been told these stories all these years and it's not making sense anymore, we have to start studying. Because knowledge is increasing. And he said in the last days knowledge would increase. So I want you to know that Enlil and Enki are the gods of the Anunnaki. They come from the lineage of the Anakim, the same giants, the same fallen angels that came here before. They're doing the same thing they did before by tricking us into thinking that they made us. And let me tell you how I know they didn't make us. My grandmother used to tell me something. She said, you know something about the truth. She said, when you tell the truth, she said, the truth will stand. He said, if somebody wake you up out of your sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning and ask you what the truth was, the story will be the same if it's the truth. He said, and it's just like making a cake. If I know the ingredients of my own homemade cake, I don't have to worry about nobody else putting nothing in it because I know what go in it. It's the same way with mankind. If they made us, they wouldn't be abducting us. If they made us, they wouldn't be studying us. If they made us, they would not have... They go through all of the changes that they're doing to try to duplicate us and splice DNA and mix DNA. They would already know how to make it again. And my answer to that is get your own dirt, because this was made by the Most High. It's His world and it's His people. So I don't want anybody. And the reason why I'm doing this is because we're getting ready to have a real serious show in a minute that we're going to break down prophecy. Because according to the way I read prophecy, they're coming back. And they're coming back in such a fantastic way that I don't want the Hebrew Israelite community to think that's Yah. Because we got to know what prophecy says and understand the games that these demons play. Because one thing about history, it does one thing and it repeats itself. So we got to make sure that we know what we're doing and we're not in an environment where we're about to lose out on what's going on. We have to understand that history repeats itself.
That is correct.
And we do not serve Enki and Enlil and the rest of them. Our Elohim's God is called Yahweh, and nobody else can take his place. And this is why Abram left Ur, because there was a decree to kill him. So him and Terah left Ur.
Yeah.
Most High met him, gave him the instructions that they gave him.
See, this is why I said that in most cases that the books that they put out is all written by the European. All our knowledge and wisdom that we supposed to say, I mean, that we come up with has been put in place by the European. And we only have discernment. We are only be able to discern what is real and what is not. You understand? And so we can come to a conclusion by reading and putting ourselves in this place. Because that's what I do when I'm reading or when I'm being taught. and they expounded on the scriptures, I have to put myself in that place, you understand, to see what actually happened there. You understand? And I can do that because I was made in the image of the Almighty and fashioned from the earth. So I'm an earthly person made in the image of the Almighty. So I'm able to have his understanding of what happened with us, what went down with us. You understand? It don't necessarily take no book for me to understand what is real for us and what is not, because I have that connection with the Almighty. You understand? So that's where I'm at with most of this stuff. I know that all of these things may have happened. You understand what I'm saying? But the translation has been distorted.
I agree with you 100%. I really do agree with you 100%. And we got to figure out how that translation was distorted, but that's all we have. We cannot start talking about the word and how it's been distorted. That's all we have. We have to work with what we have. We don't want to confuse the people that are on the show. We have to be considerate of the fact that there are people on the show right now that are Christians, that are listening, that have come out of the church, and we've got to be respectful to the fact that these people are coming out with baby knowledge, and we have to work with what we have. I believe that Bible to be true. Has it been tampered with? Yes, it has. But for the most part, prophetically, it comes to pass on the dime. So I don't have any issue with that at all whatsoever. We got to continue to understand that in this walk that we're making right now, you have to study, because knowledge is increasing. And knowledge, he said, in the last days, knowledge would increase. Knowledge would increase. And he gave me a revelation this morning, and I just was blew back. I was like, wow, it just dropped. It was a nugget that he decided to drop. And I just sat back and said, wow, oh, my goodness, I didn't even realize. But that's how the Most High does it. He drops nuggets, and he gives us an opportunity to be able to listen into his word and to understand what this thing is. And again, as I said before, love, and it takes wisdom. And as we are elders, and we are a part of the elder community, we have to have wisdom enough to know that when you're feeding a baby, you cannot feed babies steak. You've got to feed babies milk and meat, and they'll choke. So we have to use wisdom in the way that we come across when we're dealing with our audience. And that's our main goal, is to do that, because, like I said, love has to be the flavor, and love has to be what draws us. So, again, Abraham left the land of Ur because Nimrod was going to kill him and his family, because Nimrod was afraid of Abraham. And if you don't believe it, get the book of Jasher. Jasher is mentioned in the book of Joshua, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse. Joshua is also, the book of Jasher is also mentioned in the book of 1 Samuel 1 and 18. I guess I lost Brother Donnie. Hold on a minute. Let me get him back. Sorry about that. We must have lost you, because I'm just talking, thinking you on the line. So, you know, we have to understand, like I was telling them, we have to use wisdom, because we have babies on this line that are Christians. We cannot come against that word. We have to stand firm on what we believe, but we have to feed our babies milk, and we have to feed our babies cereal. So in order to understand the story of what we have, because all we have is what we have, you get the book of Jasher. It is mentioned in 2 Samuel, the first chapter, the 18th verse, and the book of Joshua, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse. We have got to start studying, people, because I'm telling you, let me tell you what the white folks are doing. They're preparing for these creatures to come. They're preparing for these outer space entities to come. That's why when we start doing the story on Yah having spaceships and he has his own army, that's good. We know he does, but guess what? They do too. So we have to know the difference, because I don't want this man stepping off this craft and in the Hebrew Israelites believing this is Yah, because clearly a lot of us believe a lot of different things. So we've got to be well-versed in it all and make our own decision, because you cannot make a sound decision with half information. Doesn't work. You cannot make a sound decision with a little bit of information. You have to have as much information as can possibly be out there so that you'll be able to say, ah, Yain and them told me that day. This is what they was talking about. And then you stand there and say, now, do I go to the left or do I go to the right? That's when discernment come in. That's when you have to pray. But the Most High is increasing knowledge so that you will have enough information to be able to make a sound decision. And that's all we're talking about. We're not stealing anybody's choice. We are not telling anybody what to think. We are not downing what anybody believes. We are just providing information so that you can make a sound decision with accurate information. Because for so many years in Christianity, we made decisions off of information that was not accurate. And it was powerful enough to the point where if enough people believe it, you can make it be true. So we've got to start getting the right information out there. And they use one scripture. Abram, go. He told Abram, go. And Abram didn't even know where he was going. He just walked because he believed the Lord. That is a bunch of crap. That's not what happened. That is not what happened. But because we believe the sideshow and because we believe the theatrics that went on with the way they told the story, we believed it until we realized it's more to the story. What? You mean to tell me his father was a sorcerer? And he was a prince and he was rich? Abram was rich. And you know the passage that say name it and claim it, get rich, you can have it. God didn't mean for you to be poor. Abram was a rich man. Noah was a rich man. They use all the scriptures they can to promote the lie. And the thing is, when you know the history, he was already rich. His father was a prince in the Babylonian kingdom. He was the closest to Nimrod you could get. He was his right-hand man.
Okay.
But if you don't know this, then the person telling the story would seem like they would know what they were talking about. But when I began to read the book of Joshua, I'm like, oh, my God, look at this. It fills in the blanks.
Okay.
And it said that he killed Abram's brother, which was Lot's father, Haram. He died in the fire. Abraham's nephew. So he died in the fire. Nimrod threw him and Abram in the fire. And Haran died in the fire.
I think those stories is on the internet, if I'm not mistaken. I think, what's his name? Enoch tells a story quite similar, if I'm not mistaken.
And you know what, and you don't understand that they're over in Babylon right now. That was the whole reason for the Iraq mission. They're over there digging up the bones of Nimrod. They're already making portals and stuff and going through space and trying to bend space and time and conjuring up demons. And they're doing all kind of stuff on them other nations. I ain't going to call no names, but them other nations is over there doing all kind of stuff and trying to make this thing be what they want it to be. But you've got
that
to
is
know
correct.
All of the...
That is
you've
correct.
You've got to know stories.
And if they find enough of us understand to tell that story, they're going to tell it to the rest of us. They're going to get those...
Them, that's what, Brother Donnie, that's why I don't watch the slave movies. I'm tired. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm tired of them trying to tell us the story. And it don't matter to me whether or not they put a black man on the front telling the story and they have black people narrating the story. They're still in control of the way the story is told. Don't tell me nothing about slavery. I can read the word and it tells me how brutal slavery was. I know there are other avenues that I can go through where some people wrote down how brutal they was. Because, see, they want to clean it up to the point where they want to make it seem like, oh, they got a slave movie out about this butler that was in the White House. And the black woman on TV talking about, you wouldn't have never made it where you was without your father being in the position he was. You wouldn't have been the man you are today. They always trying to clean it up and make it seem like they made us who we were today. Well, that's everybody's father.
Well, that, you know, that's the smoke and mirrors. You understand? You know, and how they spin it. See, as long as we don't do no research and inquire and find And if we sit back and just accept it, that's where we're going to be. There's no the slavery in the next 100 years, there would have not been no slavery. You know, they're going to have us thinking that we came over here looking for jobs.
Jobs. That's what the white lady told her little girl when we was in the Underground Railroad Freedom Center here in Cincinnati. I walked in the room and her little girl said, "Mommy," she said, "why are all of those people in chains like that?" She said, "who are those people?" And I was standing there listening. The room was quiet as a church. You could hear a rat, you know what, on cotton. And she said, she was like, "well, those are the slaves, honey." She was like, "well, why are they slaves? Why are they in chains like that?" She said, "why were they treated like that?" She said, "because we helped them get free from slavery." And I was looking at that white woman.
And as long as we accept it, as long as we
run, pay money to see the movie about the slavery that we're trying to get out of, and we're continuing to make them rich because we run to let them tell us the story, and we pay them to tell the story. We ain't got to wake up.
That is correct. And I'm gonna give you another thing here too. Is if you ever look on the TV, they got a new program on TV called Boston something. Anyway, it's about some white folks going into the black neighborhoods where the white folks had put drugs, started out the drug trade, but they making money now on apprehending these black folks and putting them in the penitentiary. Saying, come on, man. Saying, I guess my head screws right on off.
They've been doing that forever, too. They've been doing that. They've always used us to poison our people. Yeah, and you know what? We are so hooked on that doggone TV. And it's like, you know what? I'm not saying you're not supposed to watch it. If you want to watch it for entertainment, watch it. But don't let it control your mind.
That is correct.
Don't let it control your mind to the point where if you really understand what it's doing, it's just promoting consumerism. And it's promoting them manipulating the people to do and be what they want you to be. They're going to tell you the story the way they want you to tell you the story. And I'm tired of them telling us the story. We need to tell our own story. We need to tell our own children. Most of our children don't even know nothing about the transatlantic slave trade. Most of them don't even know they stuffed cotton up in their rectum so they wouldn't have to poop while they made the journey across the Atlantic Ocean. Most of them don't even know that they wasn't even fed. Most of them died of hunger and thirst, and that the sharks used to follow the ships on the Atlantic Ocean because they was throwing the bodies out left and right, and if they was feeding them to the sharks. They don't even know they cut our babies up into pieces and used them as fish bait and fed them to the alligators. They don't tell the real story. They want to tell the cleaned up story so that don't nobody know. When they hung the black men, they cut their genitals out. My grandfather saw people being hung.
Mm-hmm.
He was afraid and he hated them at the same time.
Yep.
My grandfather just died a few years ago. He was 92 years old when he died.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't that far. That's his generation, my mother, and me. That's how far that is. That's three generations ago.
Yep. I've told you in the beginning of this whole radio station that we're dealing with the coolest people on the face of the earth. Yeah.
And you know what? They're going to be evil. And my thing is, I don't really care what they are and who they are and what they do. All I care about is our people. Stop letting them manipulate you. Stop letting them tell you your own story. Because guess what? They'll never let you tell the story about the Holocaust. How much you want to bet? They'll never rewrite a movie about the Holocaust. Hollywood is ran by the fake Jews.
That is correct.
And then they plop a black face up on TV or on the movie screen, and then we go pay to watch that mess. Come on!
I know that's right. Yeah, it's heartbreaking, Naima. It is truly, truly heartbreaking how they do us. And not only how they do us, but how we accept how they do us. We accept it. You understand? You know, we act as though we cannot do nothing about it, but we can do something about it. We got the true and living the Creator, the one that's going to look out for us, the one that we was made in His image. That's the only, see, that's our only salvation. We don't do nothing. I mean, we got to have more faith in the Almighty. That's what we don't have. We don't have the faith in the Almighty. We don't trust in Him. You understand? We trust in Him for 2 weeks, and then we get faintness of heart. Once we get faintness of heart, we lose our protection.
You know what? Like I said, I'm just more concerned about giving our people little nuggets of information. If it ain't nothing but a little piece at a time, like I said, go get the Book of Joshua. It's only about $12. You can get it on Amazon for like, sometimes you might find it for $8 at the bookstore. Where, go get the Book of Joshua and just read it. Because it fills in the blanks, I'm telling you, to the point where you understand. Because when I was in Christianity, I used to read the scriptures and be like, well, what's the purpose of the, and he begot this one, and he begot that one, and he begot this one, and they lived 200 years, and he begot that one, and he lived 500. Why would he even bother? Now I know that's a wealth of information. I'm going to read that before I read the other stuff, because he's giving you genealogy. Why is he giving you genealogy? Because bloodline is more important than anything. Why is that important more than anything? It's because he chose us to be his special people. Why he chose us to be special people is because we came from him, and we have to understand this thing with Abraham go back deep. I mean, to the point where I can't even get into the deepness of it all because y'all ain't ready for it, but I can take this all the way back to before we even hit the earth. But I'm just saying, the whole Shem, Abraham, Terah, Nimrod wanted to murder Abram when he was born. Just like Noah, Abraham has the same story. His father took him out of Ur and took him to Noah. And Noah was Abraham's great-great-grandfather. And they took him to Noah, and Noah's son Shem raised Abram. And Shem was the one that taught Abram about Yah. So Abram knew about Yah from the time he was a little boy up until he was 30-something years old. So tell all your Christian pastors, for everybody that's listening under the sound of my voice, tell your Christian pastors to stop making up stories. Research and read.
Well, see, one thing is that, see, those Christian pastors, they go to theology studies. You understand? That's what, and then they become pastors and reverends and all of that. And I always wondered, did they read the Old Testament in those, or they just read the New Testament and left there, you know? I don't understand how they could become a reverend, pastor, or any of those particular things without reading the Old Testament.
They know the Old Testament. I know some pastors that know it like the back of their hand. But you know,
well,
they
not
know
they sure not telling any truth
let me tell you why they're not telling truth. Because their eyes are
not
still
profitable.
Closed. And I know their eyes are still closed.
Yeah.
Their eyes are still closed. They can't see. The Most High has closed their eyes. But I'm just, for those ones that he has allowed to come under the sound of you and our voice and is listening to our shows and that are hearing what we have to say, get the Book of Joshua. There are about 27 books that are mentioned in the scriptures that are gone. They have our information and our stuff stored in the vaults of the Vatican because they do not want, they did not want this secret to get out. They did not want us to come into the knowledge of who we were. And you know one thing about this thing is, this story is, the story, just because we come into the knowledge of who we are, does not mean we can change the story, because they are the mistress. The Most High said, I am going to take it from you and give it to another nation whom have not known me. He said, you have provoked me to jealousy, and I'm going to do this to provoke you to jealousy. They are in place to provoke us to jealousy because we did this. So they can't be removed until he says so. I our job is to educate, train, and get ready to follow when it's time for us to leave up out of here. That's what our job is to do, and to bring our people together. That's what our job is to do, no more, no less. Because we can't wake them up. See, the thing is, this is what gets me, is that people be like, I just wish you could see. I just wish you could open up your eyes and you could see what I see. But guess what? The Most High gave it to you for you to see. And there's not going to be a phrase or a man or a woman or a catch that's going to wake them up, because the same spirit that put them to sleep, is, which is the Holy Spirit or the Ruach, is going to be the same spirit to wake them up. And when the time comes for them to wake up, this is the preparation time, people. This is the time for him. He's given us a chance to build the infrastructure, because when they wake up, it's going to be something you've never seen before in your life. These people are going to wake up and turn around and realize they've been worshiping the beast. And they're going to come looking for information. Well, where do I need to go? Well, what does this mean? Well, why do you wear tassels? And why y'all wrap y'all hair? And tell me about this. And where do the women come in at? And how do we get over here? They're going to want information. That's why we got to stop fighting each other and come together.
That is correct. That is absolutely.
That's what has to be done. And this is prophetically, I'm speaking this thing.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. I wanted to let everybody in Atlanta that's on the phone here from Atlanta, that my nephew has reestablished his place of worship. I have the information next week for sure on where it's going to be located, and he's going to be open on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath day. You understand? So you can come and worship there with him.
Sounds like a plan. We got to start promoting each other. We're going to definitely put something together so we can come to Atlanta. We're going to try to put something together where we can start speaking in these different places and these different churches and all of this stuff. Get these people mind. You know, you got to get these people mind together, because they don't understand the story. This goes deeper than what they've been allowed to tell us. This goes deeper than what we've been taught.
That is correct.
That man knew the Most High from the time he was a baby until he was a grown-up. And when they left the land of Ur, they left because Nimrod was going to kill him and his father. So Abram got missing.
Yep. Yeah, my daughter told me that I needed to get that book. And I kind of shunned it, you understand, but more and more people are telling me I need to read that, you understand, or get it so I can put it in my archives. But, I know that there's a lot of stuff out there that we need to really put, take a real hard look at it and see. Because, see, everything that they taught us, man, has been a lie, you understand, just to keep us in this captive state, you understand? My daughter had told me about the 13th tribe, and that was almost 10 years ago, and I just picked that up about 5 years ago, and lets us know about those Europeans, you understand? But
you know, that's a definitely good book to get to, because guess what? That's by Arthur Pressler. And he was a Jew, and he wrote that book telling them that they were not the people. They know they're not the people. They knew that coming in the door, they weren't the people. And the whole system, the Republic of America, has been set up so that they could keep the lie going, and they could keep us on social service programs and keep annihilating us because they didn't want us to wake up. But we're waking up. The Most High said he was going to wake us up. And his word cannot lie. He will not allow his word to come back void. But we got to wake up with some polish. And we got to wake up with some love. And we got to wake up with some understanding. And get our people ready, so when it comes time for us to get up out of here, we're walking up out of here as a nation. We were royalty. We're still royalty. We're not hood rats. We're not pimps and pushers and sliding off the poles and naked women walking around. We are royalty. We just disobeyed him and we ended up in this land. We are not what they have professed us to proclaim us to be.
That
so we got to make sure that we get our people to the point where we understand. understand that. I got somebody that's pushed the button. Let me let them on. Eric code 706, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ruchay Mack in Thompson, Georgia. Because I've been sitting here listening to your show. And I know that you, and I know I hear y'all talking, you say the white man this, the white man that, but you know what? Our color is just as much part of this as the white man. Because we have misled each other. And this is part of the curse. This is part of the curse that we're dealing with. But you can't blame the white man for everything. What you need to do is blame ourselves sometime and our ancestors for getting us in this mess. Then we all must have somewhere out of the road come to Yah and then let Yah get us out of this. So you talk all you want, but the only one who can get us out of this is Yah. When we turn back to him and start listening and doing what he says, then you know, we can get out of this. But until then, black people are misleading our color, too, with all this madness that they're preaching and talking about. So we have to take a look at that, too. So, I mean, I'll give you back to Mike. Thank you.
I agree with you. We agree with you 100%. We're not against that at all. We agree with that 100%. And that's what I'm saying. If we talk about black people coming together and on one body and one mind and start worshiping the Most High, that would be eons away from now. At the rate they're going psychologically, these people don't care about worshiping nobody but Jesus. These people don't care about worshiping nobody but the gym shoe company. These people don't care about worshiping nobody but the nightclub. And these people don't worry about worshiping nobody but their bodies and what feels good to them. So something has got to happen mentally and psychologically to wake these people up. And we are right. We're not blaming the white man. We're not one of those, it's the white man's fault. We did this to ourselves. So that's why we talk to ourselves about ourselves. We don't hate nobody. We're not putting nobody down. But we're letting everybody know it's time to start working together as a team so we can start putting some stuff together so that when he does wake them up, that there's stuff in place for. So, no, we're not bashing anybody because we know our ancestors put us in. We put our own selves into this because we're still doing it.
Well, one thing that we're finding out here now is that is true that we have a lot to do with our captivity, but that captivity that the Almighty had put us in, you understand, was the cruelness of those people that he put us in his hands. They put us in the people's hands of the cruelest people on the face of the earth. He didn't expect us to be treated like we've been treated. You understand? They didn't have no compassion for the old or the young. You understand? So the Almighty has a beef with those people also. Now, what's happening here is that we are being crucified in this society. You understand? By we're being turned over as homosexuals, you understand? We're contributing to our own demise, but not by our own hand. Because without us being here and being put in this position, you understand, a lot of this stuff will not go down. You understand? We marrying into these other nations, the nation that kept us captive, we marry those people. You understand? That's a depreciation of our genealogy. You understand? We will be no more of a people if we keep doing that, for sure. We becoming homosexuals. We killing off one another, and we don't get no justice in no courts. All the jobs is gone. You understand? They put dope in our neighborhoods, so we got a lot to call to be against them for. You understand what I'm saying? But that does not negate the fact that our forefathers did wrong in the eyes of the Almighty. And we got, and Almighty called them people from afar on us. You understand? So Well, we got a lot to blame them folks for, but we also got a lot to... We coming back to the Almighty. You understand? It's a slow grind. You understand? Because we've been indoctrinated with Christianity, Buddhism, Muslimism, and all of the other isms. You understand? So we got it's a slow grind. It's a hard grind because, you understand, we've been indoctrinated for 400 years, man. 400 years we didn't know ourselves. We didn't know ourselves for 2,000 years in Africa. You understand? 2,000 years. Then another 400 years, that's 2,400 years of us not even knowing who we are. We just coming back. You understand? So we got to give ourselves a little pat on the back that we are coming back. Hallelujah.
And then another thing, and let's get on this while we're getting on, I guess the Most High don't want us to talk about spaceships today, but another thing is that doggone Christmas tree. I have never, you know what, I would be willing to bet you that the churches, I want y'all to check in y'all states where you at, and your cities where you are, how many churches got Christmas trees up in their church. All of the pagan worship that's going on at this time, they got, in my neighborhood, they got the trees lit up outside. I said, y'all putting lights on the trees so that the gods that y'all serve will be able to see that you worship it around this time. So we, just like we have a whole lot of stuff that we got to deprogram ourselves from. And it's easy to say when we turn back to y'all, all this will be all right. These young kids in this generation that we're raising up don't even know y'all. They don't know nothing about them. We have to teach them.
It's a slow grind. It ain't no puffing we going to be back there. You understand? We're going to have to work at it. And you know why we're going to have to work at it? Because we got to feel we got to feel that curse. You understand? We got to feel it in our soul so that we don't never return to that no more. You understand?
Yeah.
And that's the fear that the Almighty, that we have to have for of the Almighty, because, you understand, we got to know if we mess up, we going back into this curse thing, and we don't want to do that. You understand? So we going to keep our nose clean. You understand? We got to feel it in our heart about the curse.
That's right. And then, like you said, you got men kissing, sucking on men, and women sucking on women, and it's all they're promoting that all over the television. Now they promoting that little RFID chip in most of the shows where people got chips in their back and chips in their arm and tracking devices in their body. They're getting us ready for a certain era and a certain movement, and we have got to start teaching our children about what we need to do, because a whole lot of us are not doing that. Our children don't even know because their minds are completely somewhere else. They have gotten, man, Psalms 83 has come to pass. You can tell the conspiracy that went around worldwide. They put this system together worldwide to the point where they still got us turning on each other. Even the ones that are conscious are turning on each other because everybody feels like ain't nobody supposed to say nothing. You ain't got to go through all that. You ain't got to march. You ain't got to march. You ain't got to preach. You ain't got to have no radio show. Y'all ain't got to come together. You ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is turn to y'all. Well, how they going to turn if they don't know?
Mm-hmm. That's another thing. You understand? I want to invite the brother to speak right on up. You understand? Because I feel like if you say something, then you're ready to do something. So you need to say something.
Yeah, he gone, Brother Donia. He gone. And that's usually what they do. They say what they say, and then they leave. They're gone.
Yeah.
Because guess what? The only solution that they have is we just got to kick back and wait till the Most High come and get us. No, you got to put some work in. Because every
that
time
is correct.
The children of Israel, even when he was in favor with us and we were going through to gain the land of Canaan, we had to fight to get that stuff. We had to fight and kill our folks to go through certain areas of the land so we could pitch our tents and be around and come together as a nation. So all this kick back and watch TV and eat popcorn and wait till he come and get us, that is of the enemy. We have got to fight. We got to teach our children. We got to push this word through. Everybody's got to roll up their sleeves and say, we get ready to go to work. You got to do something.
That is correct. You understand? We got to do something. You can't just sit back and expect this stuff to just pop together like a rubber band. That is not going to happen. It didn't happen in ancient times, and it's not going to happen now. You understand? Everybody's on that spooky-ooky thing. You understand? Ooh, it's going to happen tomorrow. We going to just wave the wand, and tomorrow you wake up, everything going to be all right. You can forget that move, too. You understand?
That's right.
That ain't going to happen. You understand? We're going to have to put things
we
in place.
Know what happened to him.
We don't do that,
that's
you understand? Right. We might as well sit back and relax and don't do nothing. You understand? I'm just not into, like I said, I'm not into talking about stuff. I want to do something. What we can do, you understand? And I don't believe that the Almighty will strike me dead, you understand, for trying to help and get my brothers and sisters out of this little rut that we in. You understand? This little sit-down thing. You understand? That's impossible. For anything to happen, if you don't do nothing, won't nothing happen. But my brother said this. He said, something does happen. Decay.
Right.
And
guess
decay.
What? The word, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7 said, remember the days of old, consider the generations long past, ask the elders, and they will... You ask your fathers, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain it to you. We have a responsibility according
Hallelujah.
To the word to be able to do this.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. You understand? You know, what I always understood is that prayer is significant. Don't get me wrong, man. We need that, man. That means something. But we also must get up off our knees and do something that's going to help. You understand? That's going to make the difference. You understand what I'm saying? We can't pray and then just go sit down, like you said, in front of the TV and get our popcorn and some hot dogs and wait for the Almighty to do it. Man, he said, prayer without works is dead.
What he said. That's what he said. So you know what our thing is? For those, like I said, if you don't want to stand up, don't speak up. Because everybody that's standing up is speaking up. And yep. The ones that kick back and want to watch TV and y'all want to do what you want to do, do what you have to do. But we know we eat them, let me say this.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, like I say most often, man, it's only going to be a remnant. It's only going to be a few people that's going to understand. It's only going to be a few people that's going to do that if the Almighty say do something, that's going to do it. It's only going to be a few. You understand? And after those few get started and things is rolling, you understand, then you're going to have those few that's going to drag their butt on up in there, you understand, to try to make things happen, you understand. But for the most part, those that have the will and heart and the people that want to do something, that see the need, they need to take charge, you understand. And I really hope that we can do something about this program for them young guys, you understand, and set up some schooling for our children, you understand, you know. I mean, because if we do those things, you understand what I'm saying, we got a chance of saving some of our children, you understand, so that they won't get caught in the snare, you understand, you know.
One
more thing here is that in Zephaniah, you need
program.
To...
Hello? He got a problem for me. You don't have to worry about that. Let me say this, too, about those who are celebrating Christmas. All of you all that's decorating the tree. All of you all that's putting stuff on the tree. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 1. We're going to start with 1. It says, hear ye the word which Yahweh has spoken unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yah, learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heavens are dismayed at them. For the custom, watch it, this is the custom of the heathen. He said, for the custom of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammer, and it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must need be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. We have no responsibility to cut down no trees and had no trees decked out in our houses, in our churches, in our communities, and you claim that you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He told us not to do it, and if you're doing it, you are pagan worshiping. I don't care who, you are born again pagan, and you need to stop it, because it is not what the Most High told us to do. And I
was moving
with the mic.
Yep. I know, you know, in my little time being Israel, you understand, I never was a Christian before I came into the understanding of Yah. And then when I, you know, stopped going to services, which I did, and I have to admit that I had stopped going to services. I didn't turn to no Christian deity or no Muslims or anything like that. I just stopped going. I still kept the understanding of Yah and the ways of that we were supposed to observe. So I don't know anything about the Christian understanding, the Christmas tree. I never had one in my household. You understand? When I had my when my children was growing up, you understand? We was all Hebrew Israelites, and I thank the Almighty.
We had garland. We had the whole. I went through the whole nine yards and all of this stuff. And like I said, you all because you're not Messianic, can't talk to them. I can. I can go in there and tear it down and still keep them intact and not hurt nobody. But I'm going to tell you something. Y'all better stop. I'm just going to say, you know what? That's something that's pure and plain right in the Word. It don't take your eyes to be open for you to read that. That's clear, and it comes clear as day. He told you don't cut down no tree out the forest and fasten it to wood and deck it and put balls on it and decorations on it, and I'm telling y'all, it's time to stop all that. And you're gonna have more churches and more pastors with Christmas tree and every. I'm gonna tell you to the pastors, because I used to be one. When you stand up on that pulpit and you preach that Christmas service and you're looking at that tree with all them gifts under it and them lights attached to it and that silver and gold balls, just know that you're serving Nimrod's mother, Sennacherib. That's who you're serving. His mom, that's what they did in Babylon. They did that for her. That has nothing to do with nothing about what you're talking about, and you are pagan worshiping. Make sure you know that when you do that, that is what you're doing. And if you have any problems at all, you are welcome to contact me. My email address is Yahena, and it's spelled Y-A-H-E-E-N-A. YISRAEL @gmail.com. When you stand before your people and you get ready to give that message and you see that tree in the back of your church, you are a pagan worshiper.
That is correct. That is correct. I don't know none of those. I try not to, you know, involve myself with any one of those practices since I found myself to be Israel. And to be honest with you, when my brother and I always grew up, we was too poor to even have a tree. We had to spend that money on groceries.
Oh, that's right. And guess what? All these folks that's going out here buying all these gifts and presents and stuff ain't got the money to do it either. But like I said, psychologically, they warp our minds into believing that it's necessary to do, and we allow them to train us as to how to fuel this economy when the Most High's word is true. He said, don't do it. And they read over it, and they do it anyway. I was in the grocery store the other day, and this little old lady was standing there. I said, is there anything over there other than pigs? And she said, yes, ma'am. She said, it's some turkey over here. I said, because I don't eat pig. I said, you know you're not supposed to be eating pig, don't you? She said, I'm trying to do better. She said, I just started reading the word and going to a Bible class. She said, but you know what? I'm really trying to do better. I said, well, you need to read Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 15, because in the word it says he's coming to destroy those that eat swine flesh. And she looked at me, she said, really? I said, yes, ma'am. We exchanged phone numbers because guess what? That's an opportunity for me to witness to somebody. But you got to be able to do it in love. And like I told him, you know, she says, well, do you go to church? I said, I'm not a Christian anymore. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. She says, oh, really? Well, what's that all about? And I said, I'm going to call you because it's going to give us an opportunity to talk. We got to learn how to reach our people. And for everybody that's sitting back saying, well, you ain't got to do nothing. Just wait on y'all. That's a lie. That's from the pits of hell, and that's from the devil himself. Speak a word. That one word could change one thing in their life. Are we going to wake them all the way up? No. But at least, you know, one plant, one water, the other get an increase. That's how it's done. Y'all
that is correct.
Be the one, the nation, but we can do something.
That is correct. You understand? How are they supposed to know if we don't tell them? You know, that's part of our job. You understand? That's part of what the Almighty said. He put people in place, and he put you in place so that you could tell. You, if you open up one person's eyes, you understand, and they never go back into to doing that other stuff that they've been doing. You understand? That's a feather in your cap. That's something that the Almighty adores. You understand? If you just pass them off and don't do nothing, you understand? That's also that's depreciating from anything that the Almighty might give you. You understand? You know, when you had an opportunity and you didn't tell them, oh my goodness, that's just like a sin, straight sin.
Yes, it is. And guess what? We're not trying to be in sin. We're trying to make sure they know, just like I tell the brothers, if you're committing, if you're a homosexual, that is punishable by death.
Woo!
Death! The Most High said, kill them.
That is correct. That is correct. That's an abomination. That's a straight abomination. You understand? It's an atrocity. But, you know, atrocities lead to abominations in the eyes of the Almighty. You understand? It's an atrocity, and it didn't start out by no, transgression. You understand? It started out as an abomination.
Yeah. Sure did. He said, kill him. That's punishable in our nation by death. Now, are we allowed to take their lives? No, we're not allowed to do that in this nation because we are under this rule. But when we get back to our own land and that law is implemented, if you do that, you will be put to death.
That is correct.
He didn't say you got no second chance. He didn't say you got a chance to change. He said put them to death.
That is correct. And that's keeping evil from amongst you.
That's crucial. I mean, when you really think about it, you know, it's like, you know, there's no margin for error in that particular. He said if you sleep, a man lay with a beast the way he lay with a woman, put the man to death and the beast.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. No margin of error. You are absolutely right. There's no gray area in there, is it?
There's none. So that's, and now we in a society now where everything goes. It's okay if a man wants to love another man. It ain't no big deal. It's just people. And we don't look at it as male and female anymore. It's just people. People are loving each other. Yeah, well, you know what? This place about to go up in smoke.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. And you know what? And, you know, it's so ironic is that, man, they heaping this stuff on it. They just piling it on.
I know. No fear, Brother Donia. They don't even have no fear.
That is correct. They piling that stuff on, man. They heaping it on their own demise. They own demise.
Yeah. And guess what we doing? Like idiots, we following suit. Like idiots, we doing what they tell us to do. Like idiots, we doing the way they want us to do. Women living with each other, sucking on each other. Man, come on.
Ooh. You understand what I'm saying?
That is
and
not
you know what?
The way.
And you know what? Here's what happens is if we don't say nothing, then we accept what's going on.
Yes.
You understand? That's just like doing it. That's just
Obama
like going on with it. That's just like us committing the atrocity ourselves when we accept it. And we're going to suffer the same punishment. When you don't say, when he accept what's going on, then we accept the punishment that's going to happen for that particular atrocity.
And you know what? President Obama can pass all the laws he wants to when it comes to men marrying men and women marrying women. He can do whatever he wants for the United States of America. But as for the nation of Israel, we don't live by them laws.
No, we don't.
We don't live by them laws right there. We have not. We have to detach ourselves from that kind of stuff, because I'm telling you, Israel, if we take up with that kind of stuff, we are going to perish with the heathen.
That is correct. You understand? Exactly. You know what what always bothered me is that this brother of President Obama, you understand, he was supposed to have been a civil rights leader or something. What was he supposed to have been in Chicago? Anyway, he was supposed to have been something had done with civil rights. But as soon as he get in, so when he was involved with the civil rights stuff, there must have been some kind of problem with blacks. But as soon as he get into the presidency, he's for all people. I mean, that's one thing. That's cool. But he don't have no compassion for his own peoples. I can't see that. I don't see that. I don't understand how he could be president, how he could have been for civil rights and then be president and don't have no compassion for his own folk. I don't get that. I mean, maybe there's more to it than meets the eye here.
But that's why. You know why he doesn't have compassion for us? Is because he's not one of us. If he was one of us, he would understand us, but he's not. He is not one of us. He does not understand it. I mean, he may be a man of color, and he may have been scrutinized because he was a man of mixed color, and they have their own personal struggles that they have to go through. But as far as the curse is concerned, he's never going to understand that. You know, he won't ever be a part of that. He won't understand that. He let everybody know up front. I ain't fighting for black people. I'm fighting for all people. And guess what? The black people got suckered in again. Because guess what? We was rah-rah. You know what they said? My sister worked down at the welfare building. She was a caseworker at the welfare building. And she said the first time in history the welfare building was cleaned out the day that they were allowed to go vote for him the first time in his first office when he ran for office. They said it wasn't a black person in the welfare office. It was cleaned out. They was voting. The first time in history they voted, they got suckered in again, didn't they?
Yes, indeed. I just don't get that. I don't get it at all.
I'm like, well, what is it going to take?
You understand? I mean, you know, let me go a step.
The weight room was cleaned out when that first term, when they was all on TV talking about 44, all of them was all, oh my goodness, and we got suckered in again.
You know what's so ironic? Is that they called President Clinton the first black president. That's how stupid we are. I just can't get that move.
I know. You know, and you look at it like, man, what is it going to take? That's why that brother that just left and didn't say nothing else, you talking about we ain't got to be preaching and we ain't got to. Yes, we do. We got to. He said to cry loud and spare not.
Yeah. Understand? Ooh, we got, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to go a step further here now. They said, you know, and I'm not sure that I can agree with everything about the messianic stuff. I don't want to disagree, but I don't want to agree on something that I'm not sure of. But here's the thing, that when they started calling J.C., you know, back there in that time, they say that he was the Christ and reincarnated, the Almighty was reincarnated in him. And then we were supposed
to. But now we don't believe that now.
I'm just saying, you understand, how gullible and how
I know.
You understand that we, you know, how, you know, see, we, the Almighty said, thou shalt have no other Yah before me. You understand?
Right.
Now, back there in that particular time, they took on the understanding of this guy, and they, and at that particular time, they had him blonde-headed and blue-eyed. You understand?
Right, and guess what? You know what's sad? Is some black people still got that hanging up in their house. They still got, man, listen, when are we going to stop letting them, when are we going to stop letting them tell the story?
I'm telling you, boy, we, you understand? You know, so, you know, here we got a black man who ain't did nothing for us. Then they turned around, before he became president, they had a white man who they call the first black president. I'm confused. They got this stuff really confusing to me, but I don't have to be confused because I know the true and living Yah. You understand? I know the story and all about us as Hebrews. But man, I'm sure anybody that don't know the Almighty, you understand, is confused as hell.
And that's how they have done a number on us to keep us. All they want us to do is stay dumb and keep fueling their society and making them rich. They don't care about what we know and what we believe. Long as we keep buying their stuff and making them rich and going to see their movies and paying for their gym shoes and paying to go see them bounce a ball across the stage or paying to hear them preach or doing whatever, pay, and they don't care what you believe. Don't care. But I tell you, I'm like Dirashi, I said, one of the Morays said, get about 5 or 6 million black people and say they're getting ready to leave the country and see don't they send the National Guard after you to get you to bring your butt back here. Because guess what? We fuel the economy.
Yeah, that is correct. You're absolutely right.
Back
we take this dollar out.
You back in your house and you ain't going nowhere. You better get back to work because we fuel the economy.
You better get your hand back on that job. You are absolutely right.
All up out here for this. Pharaoh didn't do it when we left Egypt. He said, you ain't taking them nowhere. I need them for my brick and straw. He said, they got to build my stuff. They ain't going nowhere.
That is correct. When he came to the census, he went on to go get them folks. But I know that's right.
Of course. Like you said, get 5 or 10 million of us, and we all start leaving at the same time and see don't they come get us. Say, you a liar, you ain't going nowhere. You better get back on that job and get that paycheck and keep making that $10 an hour so we can keep, so you can still buy our products and make us rich. We make everybody rich.
That is correct. I don't know when we're going to stop, you understand, and think and smell the roses.
They got to wake up. We got to keep on drilling it until they wake up. We got to keep on drilling it until they wake up. This whole thing is about consumerism. And if they block it, well, we don't get to make the money.
That's
we got to keep on talking until they wake up. We got to keep on talking. Keep on talking to your children. Keep talking to their children until they get it.
Yep. You are absolutely right. One question before you hang up, before you get off the air. Did you ever get in touch with Dirashi?
I did not, but I'm still working on it. But you know what? I believe she all right. I prayed, and most I got her together. She's going to be all right. We're going to work on that. But you know
Those people that she was with when she was in Cincinnati, do you know of any of them?
No, sir, I don't. But we'll work on it. I'll talk to you about it when we get off the air. But, yeah, you know, we just got to keep on building. We got to keep on working. We got to keep on teaching. And I know it gets exhausting, and I know we get tired, and it seems like we ain't making headway. But believe me, they listening. Our young people will listen if we speak up. But you got to stand up first before you can speak up, because you can't speak up and be rah-rah and hiding in the closet. You got to believe in what you're doing and be willing to throw it all to the wind. You got to be able to trust the Most High. Stand up and speak up at the same time.
That's correct. That is correct. You know, if you have a solution for this problem, let's bring it to the floor, you understand? Right or wrong, man, you understand? It don't have to be wrong, you understand? It just could be missing a couple of pieces, You understand? That's all. You understand? And we the people that could fix it because we the ones that put this whole society here together. You understand?
Let me
so
ask
we
you
need
a question. They
we need everybody
so
that got a
homosexuality. It is terrible. Is it true?
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. What did you say?
I said, is Atlanta so? They said Atlanta is really bad with homosexuality. Is that true?
I don't go out, so I don't know. You understand? If I go anywhere, it's going to be to my nephew's place of worship, and that's it, and back home. I don't know, man. I don't go out because I don't like what I see. You understand? You know, I hate for to see them. When I go out and I go to the store and I see them kids with their pants dragging on the ground, and there's nothing that you could tell them, you might get shot. So it just hurts me to my heart to see all of that stuff. But ain't no sense in me telling them nothing if I ain't got nothing in place to show them anything different.
Yeah, but you still got to tell them. You know what? If they don't see nothing but your lights, you still got to tell them. You still got to tell them as much as you can tell them because like I told that lady about eating pork, she didn't buy none that day. She put that pork down and she picked up some turkey. And you know what I'm saying? Just that moment, like you said, one little baby step at a time. We still got to tell them because if we start counteracting what they're doing and then flood the YouTube clips and all of the stuff that they using to get the message out, if we start counteracting and getting our message out, then we got something going on. But if everybody just sit back and don't say nothing, we do.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You understand? That homosexuality, I just don't, you know, I there's nothing I can do about that. You understand? They're gay and they want to be like that, man. There's nothing I can do. You understand? Unless they see something different. My brother is, he's got AIDS because he was homosexual. You understand? He's been taken care of for the last 20 years. You understand? He's been in an institution. And a lot of stuff that has been going on is because of lack of participation from us as adults that we didn't that we should have done early. You understand? But we have to go through this. The reason why we have to go through this is because of the curse. We have to go through it until it reaches its height. You understand? And then the Almighty, you understand, we're going to put a stop to all this mess. You understand? And we are facilitators. We got to be able to speak up when it comes time to speak up. We're supposed to be there to speak up. You understand what I'm saying? But the Almighty is going to put a stop to all of this, man. It's not going to go in. We're not going to bring this stuff with us when we go to Israel, when we go home, back home, period. That's not going to happen. You know,
we can't have no men with men. And women licking all on each other, and then they're adopting our babies out to these homosexuals.
Yeah, that's a hell of a thing, a terrible thing. You understand? You find more of them in white folks than you do in black folks. You understand?
Not no more, Adonia.
Oh, yeah?
They doing it just as much as the other nations are doing it. You used to say that years ago, but not no more. I mean, it's becoming fashionable to have anal sex and all that kind of stuff because guess what? The men are homosexuals, and they want to try to bring that same lifestyle to their wives and stuff. So, you know, it's becoming something that's normal that people do in their lifestyle in their bedrooms behind closed doors. So, no, and like my grandmother said, all of y'all going to rot from the inside out if you don't stop doing what you're doing. But most of all, the Most High is going to destroy you because you're going against the natural flow of the male-female order that he put on earth. Everything is male and female right from the plant.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
And it is not normal, and it is not right to do. And I have a license to marry in the Christian faith. And somebody asked me one time, what would you do if two men came up to you and asked you to marry them? I turn my license in. I'm not marrying nobody. I'm not marrying
I know that's
anybody.
Right.
I'm not.
I know that's right. They don't implicate me in that mess.
No, not two men or two women. I'm not going to be a part of none of that. No. Absolutely
no, that's
not.
Right.
We don't do it. We got a different law over here, and we live according to the law, and I'm not doing that. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, I just, you know, it's just, it's a lot to contend with. It's a lot we have to deal with, and we got to be able to handle it. And some of us have to be strong enough to stand up so we can speak up. Because these young people watching, and they just waiting for somebody to stand up.
Yeah, that's
we got to take our children's minds back from the fake Jew, because they have had control, and they use people like Jay-Z and Beyonce and Rihanna and all them folks to dance and prance around in front of our young people, and they steal the minds of our youth, and they keep this mess going generation after generation. We've got to do something to stop it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I truly agree. Because, yeah.
You know, because it's not normal to be doing the things that they doing. You know, my granddaughter came home from school and said one of the classmates in the ninth grade is high off of cocaine in school. And the friends told her, you know why she acts like that? She's been getting high off of cane since she was in the seventh grade. Seventh grade? Her mom doesn't know she's doing cane, but she's snorting cocaine. That's why she's high. This girl is in the ninth grade.
Yeah, it's really a sad. I'm telling you, man, bring tears to your eyes when you know of what we're doing and what we're going through, and how we putting ourselves through that stuff, man. We put ourselves in that, man. We got to have some kind of example to show the difference. You know what I'm saying? You know, we can speak about it all day long, but if we cannot show no difference, you know what I'm saying, they're going to go right back in and do the same thing until they get tired. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm going through a lot of stuff, man, with my children, man. You understand? But I'm hoping that my grandchildren, man, get a chance to get saved out of this mess. You understand?
That's right. But we got to stand up before we can speak up. So that's what we need to do. We need to stand up, and then we can speak up and get our minds back, take our minds back. Like I said, I don't have a problem with TV. If you want to watch TV and you enjoy watching shows that you enjoy watching, but don't let them control what you do.
Yep.
Don't let them
control
what you buy. Don't let them control your social behavior. Don't let them control your bedroom because of something you see on TV. I mean, come on. And then when they're not, matter of fact, to take it a step further, we are supposed to control our own household and our children and what they see and come up against all of that with the word. You ought to be like, now that's an abomination right there, what they're doing. Let me show it to you in the word. Because, like you said, somebody got to come up against it. Because if nobody say nothing, everybody going to think it's okay. And it's not.
That is correct. That is correct.
It's not okay.
Do you know that? The reason that now Hitler put those Jews into concentration camps, but he didn't do it because they said that they declared war on Hitler, or that they took all of the German stuff off the shelves and was just selling Jewish stuff. You know why he did that? Is because they brought that their immorality stuff. You understand? Homosexuality and all of that stuff came from them funky Jews. And that's why he put them in concentration camps, because they were being infected with botulism. And
guess what, Brother Donia? Somebody would hear you say that and make that statement and call you an anti-Semite.
I don't care nothing about that.
They would turn around and call you an anti-Semite because you made a statement like that. But you know what?
But they're not Semites, so it don't make no difference to me what they feel. You understand? They're not of the house of Shem at all, period. You understand? They're not from Noah at all, period. You understand? So I don't care what they think. You understand? The truth is gonna prevail. You understand? Eventually, that truth gonna get out there. You understand? And you know, and matter of fact, it might not even get out there, man. The Almighty might destroy this place, man, before the truth gets out there. You understand? But that's not true about them being Semites or Shemites. They're not that at all. And they can say what they want to say. You understand? Do
well,
you some research?
And I agree with you 100%. My issue is this. You know, look at how long the lie has been perpetrated. America has sent millions and millions of dollars over there to them every year to keep the lie going. England has sent millions and millions of dollars over there to keep the lie going. So everybody is, like I said, Psalms 83 is really talking the real deal. It is talking about the conspiracy that was set up so that we would not be in existence anymore.
And you know what? One other thing here I want to tell you. That didn't come from me. Check the internet. It's right on the internet. You understand about them, about the Hitler putting them in concentration camps because they had botulism and they was immoral. They were bringing that homosexuality. Now that's not me. That's the internet. Check the internet. Blame them. Don't blame me. And in fact, I don't care whether you blame me or not. Anyway.
And you know what? I understand what you mean. And like you said, we've been brought low. We are the low man on the totem pole. We've always been because of our own punishment. And we had to watch these people parade around like they were the special people of the Most High. They were the Jews. And they were rich, and they ran everything because they had the favor of the Most High. And all they was this, and all they was, and we had to watch it year after year after year until one day the Most High opened up our eyes and made us to realize you're my favorite people.
That is correct.
I'm making you jealous the same way you made me jealous when you went whoring after other gods and when you went running after other deities. And I'm watching now, you got to watch them with your stuff parade around. You got to watch all the fake royals and you got to watch all the fake Jews run around with your language. They got your language. They got your land. They got your heritage. They got everything. And they don't rightfully belong to them. But I did it to you because I wanted you to feel what you did to me. And that is why we're in the situation we're in today. And do we remove them? No. They got to stay right in the place that they're in and fulfill their purpose. And the Most High himself, he said, I put you in place, I'm going to take you out of place. When it comes time for my people to go back into the land of Jerusalem, I'm going to clean it out myself. I'm coming with my own chariot, and I'm going to clean it out, and I'm going to make sure when we walk up in there, we're going in a pure land.
That is correct. That is absolutely, positively correct. You understand? And see, they contributed into their own demise with the stuff that they do. You know, look. Let me tell you something. Them guys got 250 nuclear warheads. 250 nuclear warheads. You understand? Now, guess what's going to happen? Them things go. I mean, the least little thing that they do is going to set off them warheads. So they contribute to their own demise. The Almighty ain't even going to have to do nothing.
No.
You know what I'm saying? They contribute to their own demise. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen.
It's like a woman that knows her husband is gone, but they still married, but he's living with another woman. And this woman walking around, and she got on the wife's clothes, and she wearing the wife's jewelry, and she driving the wife's car that the husband bought, and she living in the house that the husband bought for the wife, but the other woman really living in it. And the wife got to watch it because the husband don't want her back right now. And the wife got to watch the mistress walk around with all the stuff. She got the recognition, and everybody see her, and she's adorned, and she's gorgeous when she come out, and she got all the favor when she walk out. And guess what? At the end of the day, the wife is sitting there fuming. I mean, she pissed. But it ain't nothing she can do about it because it's got to be the relationship has to be consensual and it has to be mutual. So that's what the Most High is to us. He's making us watch, and it's burning up on us on the inside, but it's nothing we can do about it. But one thing the mistress know is, one thing she can rest assured with is she'll never be the wife. And there's nothing that they can do about it. I don't care how much money they have and what they do, they will never be Israel because they will never be us. We are the wife.
That is correct. You are absolutely correct. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that they can do to make themselves favorable to the Almighty, period.
Oh, wife. We wife. And one thing about a mistress, guess what? Everybody, you know, when men like to play, and it's men and women, it's fun when they don't nobody know what you're doing. But guess what? There's a detest that goes along with being the mistress. You know, no matter how much you try to stand in the position of the wife, you'll never be the wife. And he'll never look at you like you the wife. You'll always be that outside woman that he chose to dress up and adore. But that wife holds a special place in the heart of a husband, and that's where we are with Yah. We're his wife. He said, I'm married to you. Read Ezekiel chapter 16. He lays it out for you. And piece by piece about how he feels about it. He said, you're my wife and I'm your husband. He's married to us through covenant. And there's nothing they can do about that.
You're absolutely right. And guess what? See, them guys are so mean and so evil, they think that if they can't be the one, then they'll destroy everything. But they don't know the hand of the Almighty is already on them.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Them guys right there are so mean that they'll destroy anything. Look what's going on. Let me go a step further. Look what they're doing to those Palestinians. You understand what I'm saying? Them Palestinians, years ago, they was throwing stones, you understand, because those so-called Jews was taking over the land, and they had big old tanks and everything. And Palestinians were throwing stones rather than, because they didn't have no army or anything. So they came over there to take over the land. They pushed them people almost into the ocean, so Jews. You understand what I'm saying? And this is how they are so mean and so evil and cruel. You understand? Here's the people that didn't have no weapons, and they pushing them into the ocean, you understand, in Gaza, you understand, taking over the land, you understand what I'm saying? So I know for a fact that they are so mean that they will try to destroy that whole land rather than just because they're not chosen as the people of Yah. You understand? So I know them, but they don't know that the Almighty got them already slated for destruction, period.
And guess what? The land ain't yielding to them.
That is
true. They got all that stuff over there, and they still in turmoil because the land ain't going to yield to nobody but us.
That is correct. Just the other week, just the other month, they was talking about those 50% of those so-called Jews was going back to Germany because they was living below the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And what's his name? What's that guy's name? The Prime Minister, Netanyahu? You understand? He's talking about building more settlements. He's building more settlements so that we can come over there and be comfortable.
That's right, and that's what'll happen. Like I said, the mistress will always try to make her place, but at the end of the day, the wife is going to come back and take her rightful place, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. You know, like I said, we don't bother them. You know, we let them do what they do. We don't try to remove them. We don't do nothing. We just do what we're supposed to do, and that's educate our people and give our people some hope, because our people need hope. And they,
that is correct. We need. They definitely need the hope.
Speak hope.
That is correct. You understand? So you know the project that the United Nations of Israel got going on with the agricultural thing and the governmental thing. See, we need that so that when we go right, when we go back into the land, we can go right to work.
That's right. That's right. And guess what? We're gonna have the most. We're going to have the sweetest fruit and the best grazing and the land and the best animals because he gave us the best. You got to read
that is correct.
And he talks about how much he gave us the best of everything, the best clothing, the best fabric. We had the best jewels. We had the best everything. Everything we needed, we had the best of.
That is absolutely correct. And the Almighty has not changed. He said we was going to go back to, he was going to bring us back to the land of milk and honey. He didn't say milk and money.
That's right.
He didn't change verbiage on us. He said the land of milk and honey. That's what he said in the beginning when he was going, when he brought Moses out of the when he brought Moshe out of Mitzrayim. He said milk and honey. He was going to bring us into a land of milk and honey. And the same thing he said in the prophecies that he was going to bring us back to a land with milk and honey. That is filled with milk and honey. And that was a rich land.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That had everything in it, man. You understand? And I don't have no... See, the only reason the land is not yielding its produce and stuff like that is because we ain't there. It ain't going to give it to nobody else but us.
That's right. That's right. And that's why we
got to
get our people ready and educated to be able to go back to let them know how rich we are and where we came from. And it's a powerful thing. So, you know, we ain't going to keep on going on. Do you have any announcements you want to make, or are you finished, or you want to say something else?
I'm finished. Just call me and let me know what about the Russia. Yeah, I'm concerned about her, you understand? She normally called by now.
So, you have anything else you want to say to our listening audiences before you go?
I just want to say, just hang on in there, everybody. You understand, the Almighty has shown that we got hope. There's some hope out there. You understand? We have the true and living Yah. You understand? Who fights for us? All we got to do is come together as a nation. As once we come together as a nation, you understand, the whole world opens up for us. The whole world going to be straight. You understand? Trust me, the whole world is waiting on us to make our move. You understand? So, having said that, I want to say I love everybody, all y'all, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know what I was thinking about before I go, because I wanted to say this. You know what I don't like is the fact that Darashia is missing and we haven't heard from her in a while. We need to create a database because,
that is true.
We don't know. You know, we connect over the radio. We meet for the first time. You know, we talk every week or we talk, you know, on conference calls and we get to know each other, but if something were to happen to you and I didn't know about it, I would be devastated. I mean, we have to create something and start showing up and start supporting each other as a nation, you know, because we can't just be straggled all over the place and nobody knows anything or, you know, nobody has any information and can't find nobody to know nobody. We that's what the Nation of Yehuda is doing right now. We are working on a communication link where we should be able to tap in and be able to contact people and be able to be a part of each other's lives, you know, from a virtual standpoint, not interfering each other's lives, but be there from a virtual point where if you need something, you can tap into this number and say, hey, I'm homeless. Could you send me some money? I need to eat. I need about $50. Can you be able to help us? That's what we've been trying to do for the longest. But we meet each other online or on the radio. We talk for years and years and years. We meet a couple of times, and then if something happens to you and you never call back in anymore, I don't have any way of knowing. I don't have a phone number for you or one of your children to be like, hey, what happened to Adonijah? Is Adonijah all right? We wouldn't know nothing. If something happened to you tonight, we wouldn't know nothing about it. And we got to start getting closer than that because the Most High don't expect us to be like that. We have to show love toward each other like we're family.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that was the purpose. That was one of the purposes for the treasury, is so that when a brother or sister has these houses, man, they've been paying money for years on that house, and they go to try to get some money from the bank get them all the information, and then they come back and say, well, there ain't nothing I could do about it. We got to be able to fill in them gaps. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, or a lady or a brother or sister say he coming to town. You understand what I'm saying? He got to have a place to stay. You understand? You know, or whatever. You know, those type of things, man, we need to have already set up. That was the purpose of the treasury. You understand? That was part of it. You understand? Now, as far as my information, call me later on and I'll give you some information where you can get in touch with me.
And I'll do the same thing, you know, so that you'll be able to find if something happens. And we got to be able to do that without being scared about who got our phone number or who know this about us. You know what I'm saying? We got to keep in touch with each other where if something happened to one of our brothers and sisters and they're in the hospital, we'll know, you know, that the sis down in Florida in the hospital, we can send some flowers or something. I mean, we just don't know. No, we don't know each other. We are so disconnected from each other that we don't have any way. And if anybody wants to help me do this, and this is a project that you think you can do because we can do this from home, you know, email me. My email address is Yaena, YaehenaYisrael @gmail.com. These are the things that we're trying to put together. If somebody passed away and there was a funeral, we couldn't be there because we don't know. We would not know.
That is correct. That is correct. You know, see, those times when that Katrina hit, man, we should have been the first buses down there. There, well, there, with some groceries and some water and et cetera. And we should have a set up, oh, man, so many things that we need to do. You understand that? I mean, and it's not something that cannot be done. These are things that could be done. You understand? I mean, not something that we have to think about. Hallelujah.
Right, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, those are the things that, as a nation, I was talking about that we have to start thinking about doing. This stuff don't cost no money. It's just a matter of setting up a database. We have a
tech
stuff to be able to do it. We building each other's database. Where if something happens, you can call the Nation of Yehuda and say, you know, Zerubbabel passed away, blah, blah, blah. You have the funeral arrangements to be blah, 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 blah. And then we can announce it on the radio and everybody can tell everybody when the funeral is going to be and where it's going to be at. And then we can all show up.
That is correct. You are absolutely right. I am so proud of you. You coming up, you hitting on some home, you hitting home when you start talking stuff like that. You understand? Because
you know,
that's what
we
need those type of venues. You understand what I'm saying? You know, like I said, man, I said a long time ago, my sister died, and she was known as an Israelite. She might have not participated the way everybody else wanted to participate, but my brother, you understand, was renowned in Israel. I couldn't get nothing, no money to help bury her. You understand? She had to be cremated. You understand? And then, see, another thing here, too, is we don't have no central location where we bury anybody. Come on.
Right, right. But even if we got to be buried in the regular graveyard, we should still be able to come together and help each other, you know, in situations like that. You know, because $5 and $10, when you got 100 people sending it in, that adds up. When you got 200 people sending in, that adds up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We got to start acting like a nation instead of sitting back like we're not. We got to come out of this stupor that we in and start building a nation like we're supposed to build a nation in love. You know, in love and do what we need to do. But we got to get, you know, we got to keep talking until it clicks. Because one day it's going to click and somebody's going to be like, oh, I'll help. Well, you need me to do, I'll put it together. And I'll set a system together. I know how to do that. I used to do that when I was working. Somebody's going to show up and be able to be willing to roll up their sleeves and say, I'll do it.
That is correct. Yep. I understand. So those are some of the things that we need to talk about a little more in depth and try to get people on board. You understand what I'm saying? We don't need everybody, but we need everybody.
Have somebody that handles the bereavement part, and we be able to send you the information, and then have money in the kitty where you can send a bereavement card to the family And you know what I'm saying? And some flowers or maybe some money or something. These are the things that we can do while we're in captivity that other people do on a regular anyway.
That is correct. That is absolute. That is positive. You understand? You understand? We don't have to be alone in this matter. We have family.
No.
We are family. You know, like, we don't have to be alone. You understand? And you don't have to agree with me, man, but that's part of being family. You understand?
Right.
You understand?
Right. What I always say, beliefs can be changed, but bloodline is forever. It's forever. And we got to start loving on each other because we've been beat up enough, y'all. I mean, we've been beat up enough. Believe me, the black woman knows how hard it is to raise children without the black man in the household. We know how they have deliberately made us into the people that we are, where they have promoted the other race and their women to make us feel like we're inferior. We know that. And if a black woman is lashing out at a black man, that's because she's hurt. And you know what? Instead of beating her down, why don't you walk up and hug? You might be surprised. You might get some tears. Because there's nothing better than the arms of a black man around a black woman that can say, baby, I understand. It's going to be all right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. That go a whole lot further than someone talking about black women ain't no good. Y'all going to, that's not going to work. It's never going to work. We got to countermeasure their tactics and what they use to split us apart. And love always goes farther than anything else. So just remember that. Instead of fighting, let's hug. Saying something negative this week about your family, say something positive. To really try to change what we do. When you see that homosexual lifestyle on that television show, pull your kids in there and let them know this is wrong. The Most High said we don't live like this. They're supposed to be put to death when they do this kind of stuff, but we don't do this kind of stuff in our own land. And show them the scriptures so that when they go to school and them kids try to bring it up, our kids can stand up and say that's an abomination.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
We don't have to stand for that. We don't have to bow down to what they believe. This is what the heathens do.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to start building in love, and we got to love one another. So my saying to everybody is that I love you. You know, I may come off. Somebody told me I was soft and strong and sexy at the same time. I said, I don't know about all that, but, you know, I just want you to know I love you, and I want us to come together because love has to be the catalyst that draws us together. Love has to be the glue that keeps us together, and Yah has to be the power to make it all happen. And on that note, say shalom, shalom. But Brother Donnie, what time is it?
It's nation time.
Nation building time. We're going to see you guys next week, same time, same place. And please tell everybody to call on the line. And we're going to have some big boy stuff to talk about next week, and we're going to get this thing in process. And in the meantime, in the between time, we just want to say shalom, shalom to everybody. We love you, and we'll see you. Bye-bye. That's the end, but it ain't. We're going to keep on going. We'll see you next time. Like I said, if you have anything positive you want to bring to the table, any skill you might have that you want to bring to the table, let us know because we would love to have you. We're going to put something together. We're getting ready to do some tours. We're going to do some Hebrew tours, and we're getting ready to start going around, and we're getting ready to start educating our people. We're going to bring some joy and some love and some happiness back to our people by letting them know that we are the chosen people of Yahweh Elohim Zabaoth. Shalom, shalom, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same place, the Yehuda Project. Bye-bye.